I'm Chris.
And I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today, well, again today, because we didn't change this time.
Part 2.
Yeah. And all the people Part who two. Are listening have no idea what you're talking about.
We are talking about the difference between a startup and established business and kind of a consultant standpoint. So there's lots of different ways we can look at this, like how you call on them, how you sell to them, who you deal with. So we'll just kind of address those things. So we've talked about new businesses before, and more than 600,000 new businesses start each year. So, and almost half of the workforce in the United States works at technically a new business. So when you look at it like that, we're dealing with lots of startups. And then some of the oldest companies in the United States are Jim Beam, I put that one first, Colgate, DuPont, and Cigna. So I wouldn't have guessed all of those. But it makes sense. I mean, they've been around for a long time. They're pretty successful.
Yep.
So, Chris, in your experience, what are the pros and cons to each type of company? So pros to a startup, pros to an established company, and cons to each.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you for picking another good topic. Because kind of, you know, here at ADV and ADV Marketing, you work with large companies and small companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's pluses and minuses on both. So let's talk about the startup, and let's assume a startup's like between 5 and 10 years. Okay, so kind of the early stage is an exciting part or a plus part is that they really need your help, right? That they're more open for suggestions and all those kind of things. And so, you know, you can kind of step in, especially if they're in this growth mode, you can make a difference. The downside, though, sometimes, especially if you're working with a really small company and it's run by the guy that started the company, the founder, you know, kind of the founder's dilemma, is they think that they know everything, right? And especially you really experience that on the marketing side, but even on engineering consulting, you feel like there's this kind of tension. I think another downside, sometimes startups struggle financially, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's a difference between paying you and meeting payroll, you're going to lose. So I find sometimes I have to put my salesman hat on more with startups to try to convince them of what the benefits. And statistically, my observation, I mean, I know we did an episode where we talked about the number of companies that go out of business. My observation is that most companies go out of business because they're not willing to get help, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the big companies. You know, the pluses with the big company is they have money, they've got the resources, they've got to be a big company, so they've obviously done something very well. So to me, I do like working with them. The downside is sometimes if they're really big, they can do some of the same things that you can. So in their mind, they might not need you. So once again, that's the importance of sales and building a relationship. I tend to find, though, if I come in with a niche approach, is that here's a gap that you guys have. And I think we can help fit that gap. If you can convince them of that, you'll get the work. Yeah. So,
yes,
my thoughts.
So, Buddy, you have worked with startups and you've worked with established companies that are starting new products. So I feel like you have a lot of insight into this.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of pressure. Let me try. I think you experienced the true startup. And unfortunately, I've never been in the garage or on the lab bench where it's only a few years old and they're looking for funding and it's, you know, a real startup. I've always been on the tail end where they've had a few years of testing under their belt. And I think that is really the most important time because you're developing, you know, your future value of the company, you know, your growth potential. And then you're also understanding what the market wants. So that's a lot of fun. But at the same, you know, from a sales perspective, you're also looking for field trials. It's not the same as how am I going to make your life better. You're really telling a client, hey, would you want to work with me? This is exciting. And if this works out, it's really going to change the industry. Yeah. Or you're going to, you know, you want to have some ownership in this and becoming an early adopter. Right. So the communication with the client was much different. If you work with an established company, the pros to that obviously is, you know, you have something that's already well established. You hope that the company has sort of a startup mindset, or they have a little side R&D type program to keep feeding the bigger, you know, cash cow that's coming in. But at the same time, you know, from my, you know, from my experience, I'm looking for efficiencies. I'm looking at pre-positioning inventory for rapid, you know, turnaround, other areas of the value equation versus a new idea that's going to change how you currently do things.
So we have seen at the marketing company working with, we've worked from startups where they are like, don't even have the prototype yet, to companies who are more established. And it's really fun working with startups because you get to do everything from the beginning. It can be a little overwhelming, especially if they want to have a ton of input or they just want more and more and more options. But I really enjoy working with newer, smaller companies. And then as far as established companies, we have found that a lot of times it can get very political and there has to be a bunch of buy-in. And I've also found sometimes that since they are a bigger established company, that they think they should go with a big established marketing firm. I think that's one thing that we see is when we work with, as a consultant, they think like bigger is better because they're bigger.
And I guess in terms of like a startup, you know, they're small, so they're fine working with a smaller company.
So I personally like working with smaller, maybe not like startup in a garage, but like kind of where you're talking about, where they're a couple years in. I love it when I'm working with one of the founders or the CEO, and I just think marketing runs so smooth when you have their input in everything. So that's my personal favorite.
That's good. Kind of your sweet spot.
Yes. So your current role, Chris, so how, as a president of a company, if you are approaching or talking to a new startup or a very established company, what's the difference you see?
Yeah. So I think one thing for me that's kind of fun is we're a startup, right? I mean, we're kind of in year five, and so we're growing, and we got growing pains and all the things that like a baby, you know. So we're the early part. So if I'm talking to another company that's growing or trying to grow, I understand. I have an empathy. It's not just sympathy. Sometimes I get a little irritated, right? Because I look, you know, we're in our building right now. I look at it in the lab out there, and we've put a lot of money into that lab, right? So we've made profit. We've reinvested it back in that. And so it's hard for me sometimes to be patient with a company that I know they're making a little bit of money, but they won't reinvest it and do work with us. And so I think that's a little bit of a challenge. And sometimes as a president, it's easy for me to say that because it's a business decision that we've made. Talking to a large company, and we were laughing kind of before we started the podcast, I was talking to a large oil company yesterday, and I got kind of impatient with them, right? You know, we're asking for $25,000 to $100,000. For a company that's $1 billion, why would you not make this investment? But sometimes I've found it's easier to talk to the CEO of a company that's doing $5 million a year and get $50,000 than it is to talk to a $1 billion company and get $50,000. So sometimes as president, I feel like I have kind of a unique position as someone who's kind of building the company, that you walk in with a little bit of street credibility, if you will, because you understand kind of what they're going through.
Yeah. So, buddy, from a sales perspective, what is the difference when you're working with a startup? Like, if you are trying to sell ADV to a startup or smaller company to an established company?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned, you know, being, you know, you have to prove yourself, you have to validate, you know, whatever technology you're working on. So ADV for a startup is really positioned to be a trusted advisor and also have the amplification to a market. Ours specifically that we focus on is pipelines, but it could be any market. I feel like, you know, we get people in the room. We can actually get them to invest some money into it, called a joint industry project, and then be able to put together a scope, a testing scope that, you know, is going to provide a lot of value to the marketplace and the startup technology, right? They're going to learn, and then they're going to get to build on that relationship, and that's where I believe the biggest improvements come from, where the client is interacting with the technology and they make it better. So they get the feedback from the field or whatever or from the data mining side or whatever, aspect of the technology you're talking about, and they get that process improvement and really start to kick it up. On a larger company, I'm always worried that you kind of rest on your laurels and you either become flatlined or you're gradually declining, you don't realize it. So to keep things fresh, you either want to go after new technology, so you want to be a part of someone like ADV that's always got new technologies that you could buy or actually invest in and actually bolt on to something else that you're doing. So I think we can be that sort of innovator that, a lot of companies, when they lose that, they tend to start flatlining and eventually start to decline.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I think sometimes big companies think they do really well at what they're doing and they don't continue to grow.
Right.
And that's what they have to do. They have to either buy competitors or buy something that complements them.
Andy Grove said that, he's one of the founders of Intel. He wrote a book that called Only the Paranoid Survive, right? And it's that you assume there's always somebody trying to take you over, so you never rest on your laurels.
Yeah, the visual is that you're running from the commoditization wave that's coming after you, because it's coming.
It's like Pac-Man.
Yes, exactly.
Eat the pellets.
One of the things that I've done in my company is, as we've become more experienced and we have been able to raise our prices, I always try and keep some of our price points to be pretty low. Mm-hmm. So that way, like for a website, for example, if a startup came to me and they just really did not have a lot of money, I could say, I can make you an amazing landing page. Yeah. And like, that's what I can give you for your budget. But if you want a full blown website, like, you can't afford that. So let's start with this landing page, and then we can build from there.
Let me help you grow so you can make more money so you can pay me.
Yeah, so that's probably the thing that we've done as a company, is trying to keep some things low, but as we realize things are expensive and it takes time, we just got to raise our
prices. Well, you've done that with us, right? Mm-hmm. Is that we start off at a certain amount, and then, as we've grown and your responsibilities have grown with us, then it makes sense that that's scalable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's a good thing that you can try and keep in the back of your mind if it's possible, but that's sometimes not always possible. So let's see, one practical piece of advice we can give listeners on this topic. What I just said is pretty practical, but also I think when dealing with people in general is just going in, listening to them, and being personable.
Yeah.
When you're in sales, you should never look at it as you're trying to sell something. It's you're trying to help them. So you need to listen to their pain points so you can find out what it is.
Yeah.
Buddy, what do you think?
Well, I think, you have to be customer focused. I often talk about, when you look at some of the product managers that have been very successful, i.e. Steve Jobs, who's one of the greatest of all times, he says you work from the client's experience and you go backwards to the technology.
Yeah.
And I think what whether you're a startup or an existing business, how you approach that is different, because for one thing, it's usually new or innovative or sort of uncharted waters when you're a startup. So there's got to be a lot of quality control and management buy-in. And it's just a completely different business case than if you're sort of an existing and you're proven, but yet you're tweaking things or you're bringing on a new product or technology in addition to what you've currently done. How is that going to make their lives better? Why should they move toward that? And it's even more of a drastic swing when you're talking about just something completely new that this technology is going to do. There's a way to trial it, whether it's through field trials is what I call, where you're basically, like, if you're running a software, you have a beta system that's running parallel to what you're currently doing so that you can look and compare and how good it is, right? So you have to do some quality control management when you're a startup versus when you're a proven.
Mm-hmm. So Chris, what's your book you have for us?
I know, I haven't even referenced my book. So this is The Trusted Advisor for those watching on YouTube, but written by David Meister, who's one of my favorite authors. And in many regards, the gist of what we're talking about today is our perspective as consultants. And so to me, the epitome of a good consultant is when you become the trusted advisor. You have lunch with somebody and they're like, I'm really having this problem. I need your help because I know you can help me. So I think a piece of advice for really anyone, I mean, even outside the role of consultant, is within your company or within your family or within your school, whatever, if you become that person that people trust and they know they can go to you and you're going to solve the problem, that is an ideal position. I think about like in football, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you have a quarterback who's really good, and you got Aaron Rodgers to me is a good example, you know, or Tom Brady is like, those guys are great in the big game and you know if you get them the ball, that something's going to happen.
That's right.
So to me, that's a good goal.
One of our clients the other day emailed Sarah and asked her something like, oh, I've really been thinking about this. Could you create it for me? And she was like, oh, I already did. And sent it. I was going to go over it next week with you. And she just emailed it to him. And I was like, yes, go Sarah.
Yeah, anticipatory.
Yes.
So be the trusted advisor, but also anticipate their needs.
That's excellent.
So yeah,
perfect.
Great. Well, do y'all have anything else to add to the podcast? We have key takeaways, but I feel like we made a lot of really great points already.
Yeah, I do think there is one. I think, and Buddy talked about it, is kind of know your client, right? Understand the size and the pain points, right? So the startup has a different pain point than the large. Every company and every person has a pain point. Mm-hmm. So kind of if you can become the trusted advisor, you're aware of their pain points, and you can solve those, I think you will always have business.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yes, I agree. All right, well, I think this was a good one. I mean, all of our podcasts, I think, boil down to listen to your clients, anticipate their needs.
It's really not that hard, but it is sometimes it is so hard.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. Follow us wherever you get your podcast, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.